Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
And good evening, everybody. This is Raven Firedoll.
And this is Samara Luna.
And this is the Tree of Life Hour, brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center.
The Tree of Life Community Center is a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area, trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about things we think the pagan community should be talking about and discussing. And I'm assuming Ravenfire just had a brain fart there.
I was actually going to let you say it. That's kind of why I stopped.
Oh, I didn't know.
So much better than
we didn't plan that out. So.
No, we didn't. Of course we didn't.
So what is tonight's show about, Ravenfire?
Tonight's show is actually about manifesting change. And different ways that we can kind of manifest change. And, you know, not all change is bad. And sometimes even good change can be scary. So...
Right. Something that may look like bad change can actually be something good in the long run, like a breakup.
Yeah.
I know we've all been there. We've broken up with someone, thought it was the most horrible thing in our life, and now we look back and we're like, God, especially if they broke up with you, and you look back and you're like, God, they were doing me a favor. So, yeah, I went through that. But, because I'm one of those people that I just kind of, I probably would have let it go on a lot longer than what they did. So them ending it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given up just yet. I probably had another year of my life to get sucked away from me that I would have put towards it. But... So,
and that's not
yeah.
good.
No. But, yes, even bad things can actually end up being good.
Right, right. And sometimes
but change
you get so
never
stuck
happens
in
unless you actually
huh?
do the work. I said change doesn't happen, though, unless you actually do the work.
And usually you need both types of work, you know, magical and non-magical. You know, that's, I guess, the easy way to put it. I mean, you can't
yes,
go...
Yes, you can't do one... Or, you definitely can't do magical workings without putting in physical work.
Right. And you can't be running around screaming at the universe in front of, you know, an altar or anything and throwing all sorts of magical stuff up there and just go, you know, go back to bed or, you know, afterwards and stuff like that. It doesn't work that way.
Right. What's the old thing that we always hear about praying or doing spell work to win the lottery but then never going to buy a lotto ticket?
It ain't going to work if you don't buy a lotto ticket.
just like looking for a job, you may do the spell work, but if you're not putting in resumes and applications at places, you're not going to get a job. It's not always going to fall into your lap.
Right. No, it's not. Sometimes you get broadsided by circumstances and you find out that, oh, wow, you really need to make some changes in your life. And it's, then you kind of go, whoop.
Let's see, there's lots of ways to try to manifest things in your life. I guess the first thing you can do is meditate on it. Make sure it's the change you want. So meditate on that change. Think about it. Don't just go all in on it. You want to actually think about it and, you know, make sure it's the right change for you. Because
yes,
even though it may not always be good for us, if we ask for it, sometimes it's given to us, even though it's not good for us. Kind of a lesson.
And don't follow my school of living by impulse, because sometimes that's just so not good. But sometimes it is, so, you know.
Right. Like, I think one person had the impulse, and I'm not talking about you because I don't know if you've ever done this. They decided they wanted something physical. They wanted to buy something. But they went ahead and bought it and then tried to manifest the money to replace it afterwards. You know, to replace the money they spent. Yeah. Make sure it's there first. Don't try to manifest it afterwards, because the deities may decide this was a lesson for you and not get it to you.
Yep. And I mean, like, if you need money and stuff, there are spells to kind of ask the universe to kind of cough up the money. One of my favorite involves cough syrup.
What?
Yeah. So you,
right,
can
you
use
have
it
to explain
involved.
This.
Oh. Trying to, basically what I do is you write how much money you need on a bottle of cough syrup, and basically you shake out the cough syrup, shake it up, and you just start pouring it out and kind of leave it, you know, a little bit every day you pour out the cough syrup. So basically you're asking the universe to cough up the money. It's a weird thing. It's worked, but I will say this. It does not work on large sums of money, but if you need a few dollars here, a few dollars there, it'll work.
Well, I've not heard that one. That one's a new one on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't use it if I needed, you know, $300 or $400, like, tomorrow. That I wouldn't use it. Then, but you know, say something's coming up and I might need an extra $10 or $20. Yeah, that's one I've used before. Ask the universe to cough it up.
And make sure that you are actually asking for specific things. Like, money wise, don't just say, oh, I need money. I need the universe to give me money. Don't do that.
Otherwise, you'll wind up like me and work. What was the longest stretch I think I worked? I think I worked five or six 16-hour shifts in a row. One time I did that. And, yeah. I mean, I really did need the money. That wasn't the issue. But it's like, I didn't need the money this way. But then again, also sometimes magic likes to follow the path of least resistance. And in my life, working oodles of overtime is always the path of least resistance.
Yeah, or, yeah, so be specific with what you ask for, because if you, or like you may ask for a new job, say you don't like the job you have.
Mm-hmm.
A new job. You ask the universe for a new job. You may get a new job and find out that it's worse than the old job you had. You need to be specific. You know, what kind of job do I want? You know, what are details in
there? I like about my old job. You know.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
Be specific.
Yeah. What don't I like about my old job? What about my old job is bothering me? That type of stuff. And, yeah, be specific, you know, because, I mean, the universe could give you another job, but, you know, say you're going from working in a hospital to, say, working at UPS. It's a job, but not everybody likes working at UPS. At least that's a local Kentucky reference there. But, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, you need to really be specific, you know. Is it that you want more money? Is it that you want more respect at work? Is it that you want better hours, better benefits, you know, a better work-life balance? It just depends. And, you know, be very specific.
And you might even want to be specific to the point to say, I want a new job. Before I leave my current job.
Yep.
Because the universe has a way of, they will throw that wrench in there and you'll end up losing your job before you have one. One sign,
have a new,
you know,
one
ready
one.
To go.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, the universe is pretty good at that one too. Because once again, magic tends to follow the path of least resistance. This is something I've learned over the years. And like I said, I especially learned that when, like, I've done a couple of workings for major bits of money, and all of a sudden it's like at my job, everybody quits, and I'm working more overtime than I can stand. In my life, that's magic following the path of least resistance. You know, it's like, no, there's no account. There's no, like, money that's going to fall from a government website. You know how you've got those, like, government cash websites that, like, you might have hidden money or forgotten money or something like that? No, it's never like that with me.
No, it can happen.
But also, when it can happen, but it usually doesn't.
Right.
At least in my experience. So, you know. But
it doesn't hurt to check those sites.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But what I'm saying, though, in general, is magic will follow the path of least resistance. It's just, it works easier that way. Also, say, if you're asking for a new job, you know, if you're a school teacher and you want to be a lawyer, don't apply for a job for a lawyer. You need to go to school and put in the work.
Are you saying be realistic?
Yes. I'm saying be very realistic about what you want, you know. You know, if you're a school teacher, you cannot get a job as an attorney at a law firm. Now, you might be able to get a job as, say, a receptionist or, you know, some sort of clerk or something. But, you know, you're not going to be able to be a lawyer just by
saying you want to be a lawyer.
Saying, yeah, yeah. There's, you know, there is some education and stuff involved. So, like, if you want to get into, like, a new career or a new line of work or something, you know, you need to do the work. Magic will help you, and it will help you along, but you still need to, you know, roll your sleeves up and do the work.
So let's talk about some of the work. I know one of the things that I've used is actually right up your alley, and that is runes or sigils.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm going to let you. Yeah, I'm going to let you go into that a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay. So bind runes are, it's actually something I've used. And usually a bind rune is like a combination of runes. Now, the one thing you want to do when you're working with a bind rune and you make a bind rune is you make sure that you look in that rune or in that bind rune for like any other hidden runes, because sometimes if you use certain runes, sometimes it's the way you combine it can matter. And if you don't combine it right, it will manifest in a very odd way, or it might not manifest at all. So what I always tell people is if you're doing a bind rune and you draw it out first before you put any energy or anything into it, and just look at it, see if there's any detrimental runes to the situation. Because that sometimes, like, if you're trying to get money and you're trying to get, you know, money fast, or if you're trying to get change and you're trying to get it fast, if, for example, you make this really cool bind rune, but for somehow, some way, the rune Issa sneaks in there, that's kind of the rune of fire, or not rune of fire, rune of ice and freezing and things being frozen and stuck in motion, and that could hinder you. Something that you need to look at. It just depends on what you're looking for and what you need. And the more you know the Futhark and different runes and stuff, you can kind of look. And you'll once you do a bind rune a couple times, it starts to become second nature.
And what do you do once you develop that bind rune? What do you do with it?
Well, this is one of those, your mileage may vary. Some people will carve it on a stone. Some people will write it on a piece of wood. Some people will write it on a piece of paper. I know I have bind runes. Are you talking about like the bind runes I have at the entrance of both entrances of my house? Like that?
I don't know. I just know what I did is I did a bind rune one time to try to attract money to kind of help out with some bills and stuff. And what I did is I would sit there and trace it and put energy into it just by tracing it on a piece of paper.
Play works, too. For the same reason.
But I would be sitting at, sitting at my desk, working on the phone, whatever, for work, and just trace it and put some energy into it.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, with bind runes, it's one of those situations where it's kind of, you know, different people do them different ways. I mean, I've got some protection bind runes on my house that actually, they're made out of paper. They're made out of parchment. I burn the edges a little bit. And then they each one of them actually has a drop of blood on them. Now, I'm not saying go out there and use blood magic or this or that. I'm just saying it's my own personal blood for a protection rune to protect my own house. And that's the bind rune that protects my house. Or our house, mine and Ulf's house. But, and that's another way that you can charge them up. That if you are a beginner, I would say don't do it. Not everybody's as comfortable with poking their finger with a lancet to do it, and that's literally how I do it if I feel like I have to do it. But then again, it's worked for me, and it's using my own, and it's more of the runes require a sacrifice, and to protect my house, you know, I thought the most appropriate sacrifice was a drop of blood, and they were okay with that. And that's another, like when you were talking about how you were tracing the symbol over and over again, what you were doing is kind of sacrificing some of your energy into the bind rune. So that's what I mean by the bind runes tend to require sacrifice too. And I'm not saying human or animal sacrifice or anything like that. They just, at least when you're dealing with runes and a lot of things, when you're dealing especially with Norse deities and whatnot, there's a lot of reciprocal, a gift for a gift, and there's a lot of gifting culture going on. So basically it's like I'm asking Binder to do something for me. Now I need to turn around and give it something of worth as well. And that's kind of how it works. Be it, you know, you're drawing it over and over again, you're putting it on a stone and you're carrying it with you everywhere. I mean, there's various ways to do it, but that's just kind of, you know, that's just kind of something to keep in mind, especially if you are working a lot with bind runes. And a lot of times the more you work with them, the more the runes will kind of let you know what they want. But that's kind of more of an advanced thing for when we're talking more specifically about runes. Another thing I like to do, go ahead.
Nothing, go on.
Another thing I like to do is leave out offerings for certain deities or spirits, depending on the situation.
So if you need something for your home, you could, who is it, Diana? Isn't she the goddess of hearth, or someone is? I can't remember who.
Diana would work. I would use Frigga. If I needed money or prosperity, I'd use Freyr. For protection, I'd use Thor. For wisdom, I would use Odin. And but then again, I'm also a hard polytheist, and I deal specifically with just the one pantheon. So, that's me. But for someone who's not a heathen, you know, yeah, I could see where someone could use Diana. You know, and it just depends on the deity you're working with, too. Like, some people do have patron deities that they do work with all the time. And, you know, I'm just a firm believer in leaving something for them. If I'm asking them to help me out or do some work or something like that, I also want to basically, you know, gift for a gift once again. It keeps coming up, and I think a lot of it keeps coming up because I view magic a little differently. But this is another one of those things where your mileage may vary.
And for those of you that have never listened to this before, that's a phrase you hear a lot from Ravenfire.
Well, yeah, it's actually a phrase I hear from a lot of other heathens, too.
Yeah, it's not
a bad phrase. No. It just means that different things work for different people, and just because something works for me does not necessarily mean that it will work for you. You know, it's always good to try things, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Or maybe it just didn't work this time in this particular situation because maybe you were asking for too much, you weren't being specific, or just, you know, sometimes the universe will stand up and say, no. And that sometimes happens too.
Now, some things that people also take into account is the phases of the moon on when they are doing certain magical work to manifest things.
Right.
Such as the waxing moon is a time to sow seeds and plant crops. or attracting things into your life. The waning moon is a time to harvest crops. This one thing actually says to cut your hair or to cast away things you no longer want in your life. So if you're wanting to manifest change, like as in you want to get rid of a bad habit, the waning moon is a perfect time to do it. And as far as the full moon manifestations, I've always heard of it as a good time just to add like a oomph to your magic, that it's kind of good for anything. What do you find?
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I know you don't use the moon phases now, but I know you've taken a lot of the same classes and workshops that I have.
Well, I tend to think the moon, you know, new moon is gaining. Waning to dark is shoving it away. And to me, it almost seems like the full moon is almost neutral in some ways. In some ways, it's really good for banishing out, and in some ways, it's really good for manifesting, just depending on the moon and the time of year and the deities you're working with. Really.
Right. And this one page I'm on, it was when we had the mega full moon or whatever it was. And yes, I'm a bad pagan. I don't pay attention to the moon phases very often. I do when I see her. But here is a really good, just simple, easy way to manifest change. Make a vision board.
Oh, yeah.
And that could be as simple as taking pictures and slapping them on a wall where you can see them, of stuff that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you can do, if there's stuff that you don't want in your life, you can put it in a jar and bury it. If you want to get it, say, get things out of your life. And no, I'm not recommending putting your ex in a jar and burying them. That is not what I'm saying for you listeners whose brains have just went there. I'm just saying put an image of whatever you want out of your life and put it in a jar and bury it.
Oh, and I forgot about this. There's a generic ritual that's always going around in the different pagan groups out there on Facebook land. I see it all the time. Writing a check to yourself. Doesn't have to be a real check. It can be one that you drew out, whatever. But you write it either for the exact amount of money you need. You can even write it for time. You can write it for whatever you need. It doesn't have to be money. But you write a check to yourself with a date on it, like in the date that you write it, you can put like the date you want it by, stuff like that. I see that floating around all the time.
Yeah, that is one I've seen floating around quite a bit. I haven't done that one. I'll admit to that. Something else I totally forgot about binders. I'm blaming it all on my ADD, by the way. You can put them on a candle and burn it. That's another way you can use them. There's also a lot of candle magic out there for manifesting change, too.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get into candle magic a little bit because there's a lot of different stuff to take into account when doing candle magic. But maybe we should take a break real quick.
Sure.
You got something picked out for
us? No. No, but that shouldn't be hard to do. Let's see. Trying to find a good one here for our listeners. Okay, here's a song by Sentinel Grove, and it's called Emerging. And we'll be right back. And we are back, and that was Sentinel Grove. The song is called Emerging, and you are listening to the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and I am Raven Firedoll.
And this is Tamara Luna. And we are discussing manifesting change. Sorry, I kind of interrupted you there. I threw it out.
It's okay.
And I really like that song. That was pretty cool.
That was really cool. We'll have to play more of them. More, I'll have to play them more often.
So we promised to go over candle magic when we came back. Now, I personally do some candle magic, not a lot. Usually I research a specific issue when I'm doing candle magic. But there's a lot of things that you can take into account when doing candle magic. The first thing that I would look at is the color of the candle. I believe it's for, like, if you want to manifest something with your health or emotional well-being, I guess you'd probably use, what, orange?
Yeah, you could use orange. A lot of times I'll use a white candle. if I'm trying to bring something to me.
Yeah, white is a very good all-purpose generic candle. But if you want to get, like, really specific, you can research what the different colors represent. Like, I believe orange has to do with happiness. Green has to do with money. I'm trying to remember. If you want to manifest a change that's banishing something out of your life, like an addiction, you would use a black candle. So color of the candle can play into it.
Yep, it absolutely can.
Also, the shape of the candle can even play into it, because you can buy candles in shapes, all kinds of shapes. You can get ones that are shaped like your private parts if you want to do something with sexuality.
That's very true. You see.
I mean, you can get candles shaped like anything right now. I mean, dollar bills. If you're worried about your heart, you can get one shaped like an anatomical heart. I mean,
yeah,
the choices are unbelievable out there now in the internet age. Then there's always anointing it with oil.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite oil?
Me? I use a lot of amber and dragon's blood.
But what's your one that kind of you always that's hard for you to get that you always you know make or is it a water that you anoint stuff with that you it gives that oomph?
Oh no, that's a water I actually use. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay. So, let's see. Gosh, almost a decade ago. Wow, it has been a long time. I went to Europe. And I got my hands on some water straight from the chalice well. And so, with that water, I'm actually able to use it to... How I'm trying to figure out how to word all this. I actually use the water to anoint stuff with it. And it's actually pretty good stuff. I mean, it's pretty good water.
You can use it just like oil.
Yeah, you can. You really can. And it actually gives extra oomph to anything. I don't use it
now,
very often.
What is it that you get in New Orleans, though? There's something that you, whenever you go to New Orleans, you buy something of.
Oh,
it's
that's
an herb,
powder.
Isn't it? Now,
it's not really
that specific
herb,
powder you probably don't want to put on a candle, though, because doesn't it flame up?
No, you don't want to put Vesta powder on a candle because it'll flash like the Dickens.
But you can use herbs on a candle, especially if you can use them in combination with the oil. If you anoint a candle on the outside, you can actually roll the candle in herbs, too, if you want to use an herb as an extra oomph.
Mm-hmm. You most certainly can.
And then, you can use oils and herbs. And again, of course, you want to research exactly, you know, what you want. Certain herbs can be identified with different things that you want. Certain oils can. Another thing is to carve your intentions into the candle. You can carve
and
it in runes.
Yeah. Yep. You can carve it in runes. You can carve it in Theban. You can carve it however you want.
You can even do the bind rune and combine it. Like we were
mm-hmm.
talking earlier.
Absolutely. And then
and
the one thing I will
always...
tell
Sorry, go on.
Okay. And the one thing I will tell people, you know, you can take a big candle. If it's something really, really big, you can do a multi-day candle on it.
Actually, that's where I was going. That's funny. so, but yeah, you, a lot of times they say light the candle with your intentions in mind. You can chant over the candle, whatever, and let it burn completely down. Now, like Raven Fire said, if it's a large candle, you can do it over multiple days. Now, personally, I am one of those people that I believe do not blow a candle out. Snuff it.
Yeah, I don't blow out candles at all.
Plus, you take a chance of wax going everywhere when you blow out a candle. So you can snuff it, whether it be, you know, wetting your fingers, putting it out, candle snuffer. Now, I bought a candle snuffer I use specifically for ritual and magic purposes. I don't use it or just around the house to snuff out candles. I use it specifically for magical intentions and ritual. In fact, I think it may be over at Raven Fire's house in her basement altar room.
It might be.
Just thought of that.
Down there.
Well, I think I have some supplies at your house.
That does not surprise me.
It is pretty cool, though. Raven Fire has an altar room in her basement. And it's got windows, so it's not, you know, completely. But it's pretty cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, I got lucky there. But again, Ulf has his office, so, you know.
Yeah, but it's been there since before Ulf moved in, so.
That's true. That is
I think it was even there before you found your path with heathenism.
It was.
It used to be full of ISIS stuff at one point, didn't it?
It used to be full of all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's still pretty much, I mean, I still got it set up down there. That's, you know.
Well, that's because it's become the all-purpose altar room because we all use it.
Pretty much. There's several of it. There's several people who, yeah, use it.
So, but yeah, but you can do it over multiple days. Some people actually specifically get, there's candles that are marked to where you let it burn so much on one day, let it burn so much on the next day. And usually, I think I've seen them as 3-day candles, and I've seen 7-day candles, I believe. Because some people believe 3 or 7.
I've seen 21 days, too.
Wow. But some people believe those are divine numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess if you're into numerology, you would know those numbers, but I'm not.
I've seen 9-day candles, too.
So, who knows? There may even, I don't know it, but there may even be numbers associated with different things as far as numerology. So, but you might need to talk to someone that actually knows numerology to find that out. I mean, if you're trying to manifest something in your life, I guess it doesn't hurt to read every angle and cover your bases.
Research is always a good thing.
Yeah, research is key when you want to manifest something in your life, and don't leave loopholes. I'm going to reiterate that. Be specific. Don't leave loopholes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely do not leave.
Right. Like, for example, Tish Owen has candles that she sells, and I got one for manifesting a job, which hasn't really come to fruition yet. But what it was is it was for my husband, and we actually carved the field, the type of job he wanted. We didn't just put a job in there. We put exactly the field, and we were pretty detailed with it too when we burned it. So, yeah, just make sure, like, if there's something specific you want, get as specific as you can. I'm going to keep reiterating that. Be specific.
Oh, absolutely. Because otherwise, if you say, I need a job, the universe is going to magically hand you an application to UPS and you'll be hauling packages.
And another thing I saw, but another thing I saw mentioned was crystal grids, but I know nothing about them. I'm not even going to pretend I know anything about it because I don't. But apparently you can set up crystal grids to help manifest stuff.
Interesting. You know more about it than I do because I didn't even know those darn things existed.
Yeah, we actually have a mutual friend that I believe does crystal grids sometimes because she's taken a picture of it and posted on her Facebook before.
Okay. I'm going to have her on some night and talk about them.
I don't know how knowledgeable she is, but she does angel card readings and all tarot readings, all kinds of good stuff. She's, like, really talented in, like, anything she does. For those that were at PUF last year, she's also the one that creates the dragons and does mythical minis. And if you want more information, I'm not sure which name she's going by. She's got a couple. But PM me if you want more information, and I can put you in touch with her. So, do you know of any other ways? We've discussed meditation, candle magic, runes and bind runes.
Of course,
we
talked about vision boards. Another thing when you're doing magic like this, sometimes it's best to do, a set it and forget it, like, do the spell work. I mean, do the physical work, of course, but just do the spell work and just let it go. What I always call it is set it and forget it.
Because some people believe that takes away the energy from it if you talk about it or fret over it, that you're taking the energy away from the spell itself. I don't know if I personally believe that, but some people do believe that. So, it is getting about that time, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it is. It's getting to be about that time.
And I don't have any events up yet.
Well, we know where you'll be here in a couple weekends.
Yeah, I wish I was someplace this weekend, but working two jobs is not allowing for me to do that.
Oh, man.
Beltane at French Lick is this weekend. And it is at Our Haven Nature Sanctuary in French Lick. And Byron Ballard, Gypsy Teague, and Tuathadea will be there. Now, I heard because there's a storm coming in that Gypsy Teague may be leaving early. She posted on her Facebook. I don't know for sure, though, so I could be wrong. Also, starting this past April 16th to April 30th, they are taking pre-orders for a new Byron Ballard book called Embracing Willendorf, A Witch's
Embracing
Way
what?
To Loving Your Body to Health and Fitness. Embracing, it's pronounced Willendorf, right? The Willendorf goddess?
Yeah,
Willendorf. Willendorf, that's what I thought.
It's actually Willendorf.
So she wrote a book about fitness and being healthy and being pagan. The Witch's Way of Loving Your Body to Health and Fitness. which I'm very excited about because for those of you that may remember, we actually did a show on this, and we actually did it before she started writing this book. I'm pretty sure we didn't influence her writing this book, but it was right after she started asking questions about people to talk to for the book. And I told her, I said, the minute you are ready, I want you on to discuss this because we've already talked about this. And there isn't much out there for paganism and fitness or being healthy. I mean, there's everything for Christianity and fitness and being healthy, but there's nothing to do with paganism. And so she's actually going to be on the show May 11th. So tune in. She's going to be on the show discussing her book. I'm pretty excited about it. So, but they are doing pre-orders right now. I just want to let you know. Also coming up, April 29th is the People's Climate March in Chicago, which, like I said, I still don't know if there's one going on here in Louisville or not. But they are trying to get every city interested in doing it. So you can look and see if there is one in your area. Let's see. Also coming up, May Day celebration, Sunday 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Sunday at Moonstruck in Jeffersontown or Louisville, Kentucky. And they're offering $10 tarot readings, spirit drawings, chair massage, games for kids, maypole, and more. Free classes include the labyrinth, creating a butterfly hummingbird garden. They are having free hot dogs and drinks. Bring a lawn chair and plan to spend the day with it, which that would be fun. Midian's May Day 2017 is at Midian Festival Events in Springfield, Indiana. Tickets are available at campmidian.com. It is their fourth year in operation, so that's awesome. And it's only $50 for adults to camp out.
Congrats to you, Camp Midian.
And then May 9th is the PAC May Meetup, Pagan Alliance, Kentuckiana, which will be at Denny's on Eastern Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky. May 18th through the 21st in Burns, Tennessee, Montgomery Bell State Park is Pagan Unity Festival, which will be lots of fun. And if you want to go, you can meet Serenity and I both there. We will be there along with the VIPs of Selena Finzak, Obron Zell, M.R. Sellers, Alex Bledsoe, and Tuatha Dea, Mama Gina, Rowena of the Glen. It says Water Sprite, but I think Tish Owen, the person that runs it, verified that Jack will be doing workshops, but I don't think they're going to be singing. That could have changed, so I don't know. Also, May 18th through the 21st at Neiman Shelby Forest State Park in Millington, Tennessee is the Flint Witch Festival. More information at flintwitch.com. May 19th through the 21st is also Our Haven's Women's Gathering 2017 at Prince Frederick, Indiana, Our Haven Nature Sanctuary. Also, May 19th is Red Tent Louisville's Women's Drum and Song Circle at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, May 19th at Mount St. Francis Seminary in Floyd Knobs, Indiana. A lot of stuff going on that weekend. Also that weekend, May 20th, is the Mighty Kindness Festival here in Louisville, Kentucky at Louisville Waterfront Park, which we are usually at, but it's also not usually the same weekend as PUFF.
That's true.
So did was it last weekend or did I skip, when's the next Heathen Pub Moot?
We have not set a date. It's going to be sometime in June because we're skipping May this, we usually wind up skipping May because festivals, derby, all that fun stuff. Getting everybody into one room in the month of May is very hard in this city.
Yes, there's lots of stuff going on in Maine, Louisville. So, but that is all I have. I'm going to wait another week or so before I start going into June. So is there any other events I missed?
There'll be the there's Troth Moot, so go to www.thetroth.org, and that's the Troth annual festival. This year it's in Missouri, and I think if you register by April 30th, I think tickets are $150 a person, I think. But you can go to their website, and it's the first weekend in June.
All right, and do you have anything set for this next week yet?
No, I do not. I know the guys are doing their next virtue next week. I'm actually working on something for next week, but we will have something cool planned for you guys next week. We don't know what it is yet, but it'll be cool.
All right. Well, then I guess that's it for tonight.
Yeah, I guess that's it. So I guess to take us out tonight, I'm going to play a song by Kiva, and the song is called Traveler's Prayer. And all y'all out there, be safe until next week.
And everyone have a blessed evening and be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Pray to the moon, bright queen of the skies, jewel of the black night, the light of our eyes. Brighter than starlight, whiter than snow, look down on us in the darkness below. If well you should find us, then well let us stay. Be it seven times better when you make your way. Be it seven times better when we greet the dawn. So light up our way and keep us from all harm. Give strength to the weary, give alms to the poor, to the tainted and needy, 5 cents restore. Give song to our voices, give sight to our eyes, to see the sun thou as the new moon shall rise. Cast your eyes downward to our dwelling place. 3 times for favor and 3 times for grace. Hold all the dark clouds your face for to see, to banish misfortune and keep Trinity. In the name of Our Lady, bright maiden of grace, in the name of our Mother, the giver of peace, in the name of the Old One, who sets our souls free. All praise to the moon for eternity.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, One Network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.